Maurit, and we mentioned last time, it's a type of currency, or it's equivalent of a nickel when you do the calculations. Some of the ulama, they say it's 1/24th of a dinar or a dirham, and then the others say it's 1/20th. Who remembers if I said dinar or dirham? So one of these two units, I believe it's a dinar, but inshallah we can check it. This unit, qararit, refers to 1/20th of that, according to some of the ulama, and others they say 1/24th. The idea or concept here is the Prophet ﷺ used to tend to sheep for not really making that much money, but there were many wisdoms behind it. We mentioned 10 of these wisdoms last week. The first one teaches a person responsibility. As the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us in that well-known hadith, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi," that every single one of you is a caretaker, and all of you are responsible for those you are taking care of. Whether that's sheep, whether that's a person who has children, whether that's a person who's an employer, whether that's an older child and he has younger siblings, whether it's a sibling who has pets. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَاعِيَتِهِ. The higher up you get in terms of position and power, the more that you're going to be held accountable to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learning this from a young age, and as we mentioned last week, this is something we should also try to teach our children, this concept of responsibility. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam having this position and this profession at a young age, gave him this quality. Number two, it teaches a person patience and forbearance. The sheep, they're going to take their time to eat. You can't tell them. They're going to take their time. And you have to wait for them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he learned to be patient with people. And we see this with all the other anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Nuh alayhi salam, 950 years, and many of the other prophets, they were patient when it came to their people. And you learn this when you take care of sheep. They do things at their own time. We even see from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that some of the Sahaba, they took a while to become Muslim. Abu Sufyan became Muslim after some time, after fighting against the Muslims, as did Khalid ibn Walid. And teaching someone to tend to sheep, you learn this quality. Number three, it teaches a person protection, how to take care of their flock. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to mention this a lot. If a person is a shepherd, you have to take care of your sheep, ensure they're not being eaten by wolves. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, similarly, it's mentioned in one hadith that once in Medina there was a loud sound. So the Sahaba, they went out to see what was going on, only to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already on his way back. He was the first one to try and see what's going on to ensure that the Muslims were not being harmed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned this ummah about Dajjal, about Shaytan, and he said that while I'm with you, I will protect you, and once I'm no longer with you, then you are responsible. So he had this quality of wanting to protect the ummah. Number four, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he learned through this trade the concept of foresight. Sheep, they can only see so far; they're only so tall. So human beings, they have a higher foresight or a further foresight. They can see a lot more. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in many ahadith, he tells us about the blessings of Jannah and the things that he had seen in Jannah. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. All of this was wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, he could see the punishments and the adab that was taking place in the graves and in on Yawm al-Qiyamah and in Jahannam as well, as a means of warning this ummah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he learned this quality as well. And in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إنما مثلي ومثل الناس كمثل رجل استوقد نارا فلما أضاءت ما حوله جعل الفراش وهذا الدواب التي تقع في النار يقع فيها فجعل ينزعهن ويغلبنه there's no إعراب on this. This is a bit challenging, these words. فيقتحمنا فيها فإن آخذ بحجزكم عن النار وهم يقتحمون فيها. صحيح البخاري. In this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying that verily the parable of myself and the people is that of a man who kindled a fire. When it lighted, all that was around it, the moths and the insects started falling in to the fire. The man tried to pull them out, but they became overwhelmed and rushed into it. Thus, I take hold of your belts to keep you from falling in, yet you rush into it anyway. Number five. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he learned simplicity. Being around a simple creature like sheep, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam learned how to be simple as well. Number six, he learned closeness to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, where it's a well-known one, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith which tells us when Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq was revealed. The hadith, it starts off by saying that كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يلحق بغار حراء فيتحنث فيه. And النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he used to go to the cave of Hira. And what did he do there? This concept of tahannuth, where essentially he would go there, and there's a number of things which this could imply. One of them was being away from people, and another concept of this idea of فيتحنث فيه is going there and contemplating the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions us to in the Quran, that الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Being close to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being close to nature, being close to the mountains, being close to animals, reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions these beings throughout the Quran and the Sunnah. And then he talks about the creation as well when he says, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. The creation of the heavens and the earth is greater than the creation of mankind. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being in this situation close to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this taught him a nearness to his creator. Number seven, it taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fortitude, because you need to be able to deal with every situation. There might be one sheep that's sick, one sheep that broke its leg, one sheep which is taking advantage and hitting the other sheep. And in this situation, the Prophet ﷺ had to have the fortitude to be able to deal with these situations for an extended period of time. As we know, Nabi ﷺ, he faced the boycott. As we know, he had to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara, and many other things came about. And when he had this upbringing, then he was able to deal with a lot more in a later portion of his life. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number eight, he was able to deal with the weak. As we mentioned, the sheep are a weak creation. They were not like cows or like camels, which are a lot stronger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes the human being as being weak in the Quran. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created human beings weak. And having this quality of seeing the sheep in this way and understanding this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gained this quality through that. Number nine, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through this, and actually in fact us as well, we see the quality of being together. When you see a sheep that's alone, or any animal that's alone, whenever a wolf or a predator targets, they look for the animal that's by itself. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in one hadith, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَجْمِعُ أُمَّتِي أو قال أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم على ضلالة ويد الله مع الجماعة ومن شذ شذ في النار. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says that he will not gather this ummah, he will not make it such that this ummah agrees upon a matter which is of misguidance. This is where we get the concept of ijma' from, one of the sources of the sharia, the masadir of Islam. We get to this concept through this. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand is with the group. And he says the person who's alone will be alone in the fire. And we see that this parable is seen through this concept of sheep. And this hadith is found in Sahih of At-Tirmidhi. That la tajtami' ummati ala dhalalatin. That this ummah will not agree upon or come together upon a matter which is misguidance. Be with the group, this will safeguard you. And number 10, you learn the compassion, the quality of compassion. Sheep are soft animals. And you look at camels, they're a lot more arrogant. And you also see that your profession shapes you. The Prophet ﷺ, he gained this compassion by dealing with these particular animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran many aspects or many situations in which a human being or as a Muslim, you need to embody this quality of compassion. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Giving to someone else even when you yourself need it. Having this quality of compassion is important for a Muslim, and this is a quality gained through this noble profession of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So these are the 10 wisdoms, just as a quick run through of last week. The next section we'll discuss is the wisdoms of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have raised the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an orphan. This might seem as perhaps a sense of cruelty, but there are certain wisdoms. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was raised as an orphan for a deliberate reason. It was not something done haphazardly. And we'll mention 7 of these wisdoms. The first one is that through this we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of him alone. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Wadduha, in the surah, he says, Wadduha, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he has not abandoned him. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى أَلَمْ يَجِدَكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. These verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the fact that he has not abandoned him, and what is to come is going to be greater. And he's reminding him of his favor, of the guidance that he gave to him, of not leaving him in a situation, one that is in need. So that's the first point. We also see from the other prophets as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes with Musa alayhi salam that وَأَنَا اخْتَرُتَكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى وَأَنَا اخْتَرُتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that he chose Musa alayhi salam for himself. So likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, it is so that it could not be said that he got his status among his people because of his parents. Oftentimes you get where you are in life because of your parents. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have parents. He got this through his own merit. And this shows another quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically chose him. And his people respected him, not because of his lineage, as sometimes people get respect purely because of who they are. But rather it was due to his own merit that he was one that earned the title of As-Sadiqul Amin. So this is the second reason. Number 3, it was also not because of money or prestige, but rather from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Because sometimes you think that money, a lot of times people think having money automatically makes a person a good leader. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses this in the Quran, in the story of Talut. Who is Talut? There's an English name for Talut, yeah. Saul, that's right. Now what is the story of Saul? It's in the end of the first juz of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the situation of Saul, who existed in the time of Dawood alayhi salam. And the people, they wanted a leader. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we'll give you Talut as a leader. What did they say? They said, should we follow him? وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ. Should we follow him and he doesn't have money? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of what a true leader looks like. He says, وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ. When a person has a lot of energy and they're physically strong and they have knowledge, this makes a person a good leader. It's not necessarily the case that because you have money, this makes you a good leader. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the situation that he was in, when he was working with Abu Talib, through the barakah of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him, he was able to make a lot of money, but it wasn't because he was rich that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him. He chose him for other characteristics and traits that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam possessed. Number 4, being an orphan made him attached to his creator. And when you can see people that don't have parents to be attached to, then they're more attached to their creator. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at this stage, you can see that He was attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a quality that he gained through. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he raised him as an orphan, then he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his when he needed anything as a sense of comfort. Number five. So it could not be said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was calling to the religion of his father. In fact, when you look at Islam, there are so many verses in the Quran which discourage us from following ma wajadna alayhi aba'ana aw law kana aba'uhum aba'uhum la ya'qiluna shay'an wa la yahtadun. It could be that your forefathers, they were not guided. And that's why it's important for a believer to follow Islam for yourself. And for those that are young, there's a certain day where this happens, even if you're born Muslim. I'll give one example of this. That first day that you decided to pray by yourself when your parents weren't around. At that moment, you chose Islam for yourself. And as a believer, we don't blindly follow our parents. And Islam was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was an orphan. And also it should be known that he was not simply preaching what his lineage was preaching, but rather this came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as wahi. Number six, there's also a lesson in this, that every orphan, it can never be said about an orphan that you will not be successful. Think about the orphans in the world. Now they have an example in the best of human beings, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes as uswatun hasana, the best of examples. Khairul khalq, the best of creation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an orphan, and now through this we can see that you might be disadvantaged in certain ways, but we learn from this that you find a lesson in it for every orphan, that just because you're born in this way does not mean for a second that you will not be successful in this dunya or in the akhirah. And number seven, we also learned that the other prophets, Ismail alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam grew up fatherless. For an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and his father passed away before he was born. For Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give him a father. And for Musa alayhi salam, his father was not present. Ismail alayhi salam, as we mentioned previously, that Ibrahim visited him on how many occasions? No more than two. So if you remember and recall when we spoke about the story of Ismail, then we mentioned that there were four incidents in which Ibrahim alayhi salam visited Ismail. So when he was an adult, yeah. So he had left him and then he came back and he visited him four times. One of them was to build the Kaaba. Two occasions he said, change your doorstep, right? And then the last occasion was in the incident where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to sacrifice Ismail. And for them growing up fatherless, this also shows their dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another point which is important and we'll discuss as the next section here is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before prophethood in a number of different areas. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before prophethood in a number of different areas. And when you see yourself being protected sometimes, you mention one example, that maybe you find it, for whatever reason, you never found yourself in places of haram. For whatever reason, even though you were curious. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was curious. We'll get into this story. But you may find yourself, for whatever reason, you find yourself in areas of righteousness. This could be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing you in this way and protecting you as He did to an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, it's mentioned, وَرَوَى Imam Ahmad فِي مُسْنَدِهِ عَنْ حِشَامِ إِبْنُ عُرْوَى عَنْ أَبِيهِ قَالْ حَدَّثَنِي جَارٌ لِخَدِيجَةَ أَنَّهُ سَمِعَ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَهُوَ يَقُولْ لِخَدِيجَة. So this is basically the neighbor of Khadija radiallahu anha, that she heard Khadija radiallahu anha, and she heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she's narrating that I heard from the Khadija radiallahu anha that she was saying this about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He said, Wallahi la a'budu al-lat wal-uzza, wallahi la a'budu abadan. I never worshipped the idols al-lat and al-uzza ever in my life. So the Prophet ﷺ was protected from idolatry. Number two, and Nabi ﷺ was protected from eating meat slaughtered to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned previously that there was another one of the companions. Actually, he would not have been a companion in the sense that he was not from the Ummah of Islam, but rather he will be resurrected on Yawm al-Qiyamah as an Ummah by himself. Who remembers the name of this companion? He's part of the Hunafa, he's part of that group, but not Waraqa. There's another one he was actually the cousin of Umar al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, for those that were here previously in that session. This was Zayd ibn Amir ibn Nufail. And his son is Sa'id ibn Zayd, one of Al-Ashara al-Mubashirina bil-Jannah. One of those 10 that was granted Jannah by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that famous hadith where he says, Abu Bakr fil-Jannah, wa Umar fil-Jannah, wa Uthman fil-Jannah, wa Ali fil-Jannah. In this narration, one of those that's mentioned in this is Sa'id ibn Zayd. Now his father was one that used to say to the Quraysh that none of you are worshipping the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam except for me. And he went around asking about the pure religion, and he was not finding a correct answer. He went to the polytheists. He recognized this was wrong. He said, is there any other religion? He went to the Christians, and then it was told to him that you will not accept this religion except that you will get part of a share of the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, I want to be as far away as possible from the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, is there any other religion? He's informed of the Jewish religion. And then it's told to him that if you accept this religion, you're going to get a share of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, I want nothing more than to be far away from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he asks, is there any other religion? And it's told to him, there's only one other religion, and that is the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Hunafa. Then he says that, wallahi, he says that I testify, ashhadu anna, that I testify that ana ala dini Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he testifies that I am upon the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, although I don't know how to follow him. He says, Allahumma inni ashhadu anni ala dini Ibrahim, I am upon the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, although I don't know how to follow it. And this goes to show us that if a person is pure, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he guided Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail even before Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, because he passed away before this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells his son later on that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will raise him as a nation alone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that yub'athu ummatan wahda yawm al-qiyamah, he will be resurrected as a nation alone on the day of judgment. Also, another point about Sa'id ibn Amr ibn Nufail is that he was also one that hated the practice of burying the daughters alive. As we know, this was a practice. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Allah mentions this in the Qur'an. He hated this so much. And in a narration in the Musnad, Imam Ahmad, it mentions about him that he would go to the Quraysh and say that give them to me instead of burying them, I will feed them. If you're afraid of poverty, وَلَا تَقْتُلْ أَوْلَادُكُمْ خَشْيَةِ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. Allah tells in the Quran, do not kill your children out of fear of poverty. And maybe perhaps this was one reason, among maybe other reasons about in their society, the dishonor of having a daughter. وَلَا تَقْتُلْ أَوْلَادُكُمْ خَشْيَةِ إِمْلَاقٍ. They feared that they would fall into poverty. So he would say, I'll take care of them, I will raise them, I will feed them, and when they get older, you can either take them back, or if you don't want to take them back, we'll continue to take care of these young girls. And so he had this quality within himself. And this tells us as believers, don't be one to just blindly follow the trends. In this example of Sa'id, of Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail, he was guided to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even before the revelation of Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, because of this great quality. And in one narration, it's mentioned that both him and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were presented meat that was slaughtered to idols, and both of them, they refused to eat it. And Zayd ibn Amr, he used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the sheep, and he said, Allah created the sheep and he sent the water for it from the sky, and he has grown the grass for it from the earth, yet you slaughter it in other than the name of Allah. And he found this to be an abhorrent thing to do, to eat this particular meat. And we mentioned before that how did the people of the Quraysh know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Their issue was that they believed in Allah. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If they were to be asked who created the heavens and the earth, they would have said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this. But their issue was they used this these idols as a means of drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the beginning of Surah Az-Zumar, something which is forbidden. So, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was protected from eating meat slaughtered to other idols, or idols besides any idol, really, slaughtered to idols. Number three, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had protection in his lineage from zina. That from him all the way up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was protected from zina. In one hadith narrated by Al-Tabarani, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, خَرَجْتُ مِن نِكَاحٍ وَلَمْ أَخْرُجُ مِن سِفَاحٍ مِن لَدُنْ آدَمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ وَلَدَنِي أَبِي وَأُمِّي. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that I was a product of true marriage from Adam alayhi salam until my parents as well. We mentioned the situation in the case with respect to the parents of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the various ahadith as regards to where their destination is. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, irrespective of the different opinions of the scholars and what we had discussed, you can refer to one of the previous videos for this. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions in this narration that his parents got married authentically. There is protection in his lineage from zina. Number four. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was protected from uncovering his awrah. And this tells us a great lesson in Islam as well. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in one hadith that iman has various branches. And one of those branches is modesty. One of the branches of, and لِكُلِّ دِينٍ خُلُق وَخُلُق الْإِسْلَامِ الْحَيَاءِ. Every religion has a certain characteristic, a certain trait, a certain persona, something which that religion embodies. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this particular narration, he says the concept of modesty is so important, he mentions and describes this as the characteristic of Islam. When you think about Islam and the symbols of Islam, one of the greatest symbols of Islam, One of the greatest symbols of Islam is the hijab. When you recognize a sister or you see a sister wearing hijab, this is a symbol of Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning that the khuluq of Islam is this concept of modesty. And another point, something to contemplate and think about as well. Some people think nothing of it. When you go to the YMCA, right? Sometimes even Muslims or youth, they go there, and we see what happens in the locker rooms. People don't care. They have no concept of preserving and protecting their awrah in those situations. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was extremely careful of this. And he was protected from this even before the revelation of Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. In this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions this is from Al-Abbas. So this was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this particular narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was carrying stones to rebuild the Kaaba. And Al-Abbas, his uncle, when he went to carry the stones, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's take off your garment and maybe it's going to be easier for you to carry these stones. You could put it in this garment instead. So, and then these stones won't hurt your neck. But as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did this, then the hadith mentions that فَخَرَّ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَطَمَحَتْ عَيْنَاهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ ثُمَّ أَفَاقَ فَقَالَ إِزَارِي إِزَارِي فَشَدَّ عَلَيْهِ إِزَارَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as soon as he attempted to take off his garment to do this, he fell unconscious on the ground with both of his eyes toward the sky. And when he came to his senses, he said, my waist sheet. And then he tied his waist sheet around his waist. So again, this is something we can learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that be careful of guarding your awrah. He was protected from ever uncovering his awrah, even before the revelation of Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. What time is the adhan? 4 minutes ago. Okay, I don't want to go any further than this, inshallah. We haven't yet finished the section, but we'll continue, inshallah, next week. The next one, by the way, is the just really quickly, he was protected from sin and nightlife. We spoke about this previously. There's a few other points as well. We'll continue next week. Subhanallah, Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifoon. Wassalamu ala al-Mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.